Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin.
Well, we are back live. I'm Jason Ophir for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Joined, as always, with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Now, I'm broadcasting on my phone. Things are a little wacky because there's a lot of things have been going on. So hopefully this sounds okay. Sherry, how you been? It's been a while since we've been on.
Yeah, it's been a while, at least a month. It's been great. I've been just busy working and just cleaning house and, you know, just kind of organizing, a lot of organizing stuff.
Very good. Well, it is. I think it's been longer than a month, actually. It's been at least a couple.
Okay. Really? Has it been that long?
Might have been three, actually, when I looked at it, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay. It's just a couple months anyway. But anyway, what's been happening in your world? And tell everybody what's happening in your side.
Well, a lot of changes. I mean, the main reason that we haven't been on very often is just there's so much going on and major life changes for me. I mean, gosh, I wanted to say this is a while ago, I got pretty sick again. And I don't know what it was. I don't think it was COVID, but man, there's some nasty stuff going around. I had a fever. I was coughing for like 2 months, or at least a month. And so I was dealing with that. But if anybody listens to the show, my house was put for sale a long time ago. It didn't sell. Put it for sale again, and it did sell. And so basically the reason that I've been so busy is I quit my job. The house sold, and I didn't find another job. I actually have an interview next week, but I'm in no hurry to work. I kind of wish I hadn't applied to any jobs, but I do have an interview. So the house sold, and as you well know, I gave a lot of my possessions to you, and because basically I wanted my life to fit in my little subcompact SUV. And I took some stuff to a friend's house and took basically just some clothes and the important paperwork in my car. And then I drove all the way down to San Diego and visited with my mother. And I have to tell you, that was an interesting experience. Now, I grew up in Southern California, and it's absolutely amazing down there. And I did go to the beach, and I actually went in the water up to my waist. The water's nice and warm there, not like it is in the Northwest. And I stayed down and visited my mom for a week and basically lived in hotels and Airbnbs for probably 3 weeks. And it just gets really expensive. Hotels and Airbnb, they cost a fortune. But that was okay. And I tell you, it's interesting because my mom lives. It's interesting to see, you know, people that the difference between people that don't have a lot of money, the way they live, and the way they retire when they get old. First, mm-hmm. people that have a lot of money.
Okay.
You know, like old people, they get in these really terrible retirement homes and stuff like that and care homes and stuff like that. Well, my mom is on the other end of the, and she is in an interesting community. It's huge. I don't remember how many residents, but it has multiple restaurants. They have activities. They have health care. It's a gated community. People live in like a gated condo community. And they basically just pay a fortune to move in just for the privilege of living there. This is just so you can move in. It's $1 million.
Really?
It's crazy.
Wow.
And then every month on top of that, it's $6,000 to $8,000 a month, but they do everything. I mean, food's included, the restaurants. So we were just eating at the same restaurants day in and day out. And it's kind of more on the fine dining end.
Okay.
And I didn't particularly – what's that?
Is it like a 4-star? What would you say? Like a
no,
4 or 5-star?
I would say, you know, maybe like a 3-star. Or maybe.
Oh, okay.
But it's formal. You can't just go in jeans. And the food's okay, but what I found amusing was, you know, these restaurants are catered to old rich people.
Oh,
and
wow.
The servings they give you is comical, like the amount of food. So if you order like pot stickers as an appetizer, it's like 2 pot stickers. You know, what are you going to do with that? It's the whole thing is just ridiculous because all the employees that work there are like assistants. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like personal, it's just so weird for me because I'm not that way at all. I wouldn't want to go out like that. It's great for her, you know, just to be in a community like that, but I couldn't do it. And it's just for rich, rich white people.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a crazy experience. And, you know, after several days, I was like, I just wanted to move on and start the adventure. And so imagine me, no job, no place to live, and no real location. So I did resettle. I moved to Southern Oregon and stayed in an Airbnb for about a week. And then I found a place to live. It's grossly overpriced, which bothers me every day.
Really? Oh, wow.
Because for the price I pay, it's like a 1-bedroom cottage. It's very nice.
Okay.
It's brand new. No one's ever lived in it before. But for the amount I'm paying for this cottage, I could get like a regular house.
Wow. Took a big hit on that. Did you feel like you needed a place to stay, you know, plant your roots somewhere? Because I remember
I
you were thinking about RV. You were going to travel and get an RV and travel the country.
Yeah, so that's another aspect of the story. So my initial plan, and I know this isn't paranormal and people probably aren't interested in hearing this, but maybe they are because I think what I'm doing is what a lot of people wish they could do or what they are striving for, just having that level of freedom. So I came down here. It's a moderately sized city. It's not huge, but it's not small either. And the reason I selected it is for the job opportunities. But so my initial plan was to buy an RV.
Right.
And just live in RV parks and stuff like that. Well, I went to an RV place, checked out the RVs, kind of had one picked out. And which I kind of already knew, but I guess I didn't really accept the fact that finding full-time RV parks can be difficult. And the reason it's difficult, because there aren't a lot of RV parks that do full-time RVing.
Mm.
And the problem with that is everybody wants to do that, so they're all full. So you can't find an available space in a full-time RV park or an RV park that has some spots for full-time. It's impossible.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, so I looked around and I called one, and she's like, yeah, you know, maybe in October. Like, I can't buy an RV and have nowhere to put it, you know?
Right.
So I found this place. It's furnished. Found it on Furnished Finders. And to the lady, and she's like, yeah, she's got another lady that is going to move in. And she's just needs to, this lady's going to call her by noon on that particular day. And I was like, well, I'll come look at it anyways. And we really liked it. It's nice. And it was like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and that lady hadn't called yet. And so I told the lady, I'll give you cash right now. And she felt terrible because of this other person.
Right.
And I hate doing that, but I got money now. You know, you got,
wow.
This other person didn't follow the directions, or, you know, they said they were going to call by noon and they didn't. And I'm standing there with money. So.
Yep. It's business.
Yeah.
Well, that was, you know, about, to me, that was like synchronicity. You were there at the right time in the right place, Jason. It's not like, okay, you're going through one roadblock after another. It was meant for you if permanently, maybe temporary for you to stay there. You know, maybe that was just something that, you know, you needed to just temporarily plant your roots or stay there or whatever. But, you know, it sounded like to me everything just kind of synced together with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It just was the right place at the right time, even though it's really expensive. So the course of the last month, brace yourself. Do you know how much money I've spent?
Mm-mm.
Hotels, Airbnbs, travel.
No.
$15,000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In a month.
Okay. Well, you know.
It's less,
you know,
now, but. That's enough to make you choke. Like, oh my God. But.
Oh.
So that's what's been going on. I have relocated and I still haven't set up a system to do the show or anything. And I've tried multiple things and I'm going to have to go get a new computer to be able to do that.
Oh, you didn't. What's wrong with your computer?
I gave it to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I say I got rid of everything, I got rid of everything. I had some like televisions and stuff like that.
It's still in the box, Jason.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So that's been the adventure that is ongoing. And I do have an interview next week, and I'm hoping that I don't get it because I don't need to work.
Pathology?
So I don't want to.
Oh, it's pathology again?
Actually, yeah, one of the positions was pathology, but I think the majority of it's just general laboratory, you know, hospital kind of stuff. And I really just don't want – I'm enjoying not working for the first time ever, so –
Wow.
And what there's no rush to work. And healthcare was my biggest concern, and that's taken care of. So.
Yeah, really.
So I have everything, you know, all my ducks are in a row. And so the adventure continues. But it's blazing hot down here in Southern Oregon. I think the other day was about 108.
Oh, is it drier than Portland? Do you think we're about the same time, you know, or
yeah,
humid?
Yeah, it's totally different.
Is it really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay. The drier heat more? Not so humid.
Yeah, it's brutally just a dry heat. It's
okay.
It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I'd rather have dry heat, to be honest with you. If I had hot heat, I'd rather have dry heat because it feels like you're more comfortable. You don't feel like feel like you got to take a shower and you're just perspiring all the time. You feel like you're so dirty and sweaty all the time.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, if there's a breeze, it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. How do you like
the whole nation?
Like,
what's that?
How do you like being in Medford?
it's different. So it's a city of 100,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Initially, I was going to move to a smaller town called Grants Pass, which I still may do. I don't know. But I'm going to keep it in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Wow. Congratulations. A new journey. New chapter.
A new adventure.
Mm-hmm. New
and
adventure.
I've been super lazy, just hanging out, loving it.
Well, you don't have to deal with a lot of things in your home, right?
Yeah, and it's a big relief.
No neighbors, you know, your neighbors, you don't have any neighbors, right? Just kind of like out of the way, you're to yourself.
Well, no, not really, because there are neighbors all around. And everybody has dogs, and I thought barking was going to be a problem, but it wasn't, or it isn't. But basically, I'm in somebody's backyard, the family that owns the main house. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. What relevance of that there is, I don't know. But they have been very nice and accommodating, and they do not want us to leave, obviously, because I'm a cash cow.
Yeah, and you're paying your rent on time, you know, kind of thing.
Cash. Cash is king. Way too much cash. It's so I'll probably move at some point because I, you know, there's similar places for a lot less.
So. Yeah, and even if you have to go even more south, you know, you got to go where you got to go. Yeah.
So cheaper. I was fine with just finding some ratty, nasty place to live because I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me. I don't need to live in a nice place. It could be a beat-up barn. I don't care, you know. But
Right. My
mom swayed me not to just go for the cheapest, most disgusting place.
Well, she wants you to
all I need,
have
the
a...
two, I have two main requirements, and this is probably should be everybody's requirement, air conditioning and Wi-Fi.
And you got Wi-Fi?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yep. Yeah, you got to have air conditioning. I've been there.
I see you sent me some pictures, and that was a nice little place. It's small. It's like a one-bedroom apartment, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, smaller than a one, but it's fine for two people.
Wow.
It's tiny. And I'm noticing the differences, you know. There's not the same level of counter space that I used to have. It's
really?
A third, it's probably at least less than half of my last place in terms of size.
Oh, wow.
But I don't have the headache of having a home and having a disaster. And I also, many people listening probably are aware how much of a pain in the ass it is to sell a house or buy a house. And I just want to say I understand now because it is a pain in the ass.
And the HOA.
Well, yeah, especially when my HOA sends me a $35,000 bill, yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, I got screwed, but... It is what it is. I wasn't the only one. Everybody in that HOA has to pay $35,000 at least.
Wow.
For a problem that's not even, that has a problem that has nothing to do with their units. Or my
units. They're nice. It's a nice place, but I would not pay HOA where you're at. No way where you left. It's a nice place, but. And I would have probably, if it was me, I would have picked the outside unit. I don't like being sandwiched in between two people.
Yeah, well, we've talked about the nightmare of that was. At the end there, you know, the last couple of years, it was great because the families on both sides are super quiet. But I had that stretch there where I had a terrible, loud family next to me. And
oh, yeah, you're right. They finally moved out. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't even sleep. A lot of times you couldn't even sleep, you know, and racket and, oh yeah, you had some a lot of issues for a long time there.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. But though, yeah, the last couple of years were okay. They were great, great neighbors. But yeah, so.
Oh wow. So yeah, let's see what's going on here. I saw. Who is it that I just saw? I saw, oh, my gosh, I'm just going in a blank right now. I just saw, was it last weekend? Yes, it was. It was last weekend. I saw Clyde Lewis. The Bigfoot thing. So
cool.
It was until about 3, but, well, it was until 6 o'clock. About 4 o'clock, it downpoured, poured. So there wasn't very many people. I mean, it was, they moved it. The people that started the Bigfoot Fest had it at Expo Park about 4 or 5 years ago. And then that went out. That was pretty good. They had that for a few years. And then the COVID came. Don't quote me on the years. COVID came, and they didn't have that. They didn't have the Bigfoot Fest. So they moved it, for whatever reason, they moved it from the Osbo Park, they moved it to the Clackamas County Fairgrounds. And I remember, that was 3 years ago, that it was like freaking 100 degrees, no trees, bare fairgrounds. I mean, it was just brutal. And I guess the people that did the thing, I guess the creators or the founder of that, they didn't do very well. They were going under. They didn't even make up. They didn't even make their whatever, the rent or whatever. So they went out of business for a couple of years, and they brought it back. But this time it was going to be at Oaks Park. They had quite a few. You know, they had probably about 75 vendors. And to be honest with you, I talked to quite a few of them. They didn't even make their booth fee. They did not make their booth fee, unfortunately, because was either advertising, the combination of advertising. The other thing was that they moved. And also, I don't know if you heard, but it was just only a few days before the Bigfoot Fest. Did you hear about that ride? One of the big rides that got stuck up in the air and these kids were upside down hanging.
Yeah, I saw the video.
So they were, from what I heard on Instagram, that there's already lawsuits started already. So, it was bare. There wasn't very many rides. When you see rides, you can see the rides right in front of you within maybe, 500 feet, if that, 250 feet, 300, not even 500 feet. There was only one or two people on the rides. I mean, there was just barren. To be honest with you, it was very barren. There was a few people that are into Bigfoot and, you know, a lot of crafty people. A lot of people went out of their way to, you know, make things of Bigfoot and everything, but between the combination, I just, you know, I don't think a lot of people may not come back. It was really unfortunate, you know, because I talked to the vendors around me and talked to Clyde and went around and everything. And it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just probably a combination. So I don't know if I would. I like to support that thing, but I don't think I would go back. It's not something I want to do.
Well, maybe you won't catch me there because I don't believe in Bigfoot, so there's no point for me to go.
Well, they didn't have very many people as they used to have either. They used to have, like, one of our people that used to be one of our guests all the time, but I forgot his name right off the bat, but... yeah, they had Dave Schrader. He owns a radio show, and he's, you know, paranormal. And then they had Sarah Lemos, and, you know, they had her, and she was talking about, you know, being a medium and this and that. And then Clyde Lewis, he was the host, and that was it. Usually they have an all-star, a lot of people, lots and lots of people, you know, in that place. But they didn't have a good lineup at all, maybe 3 people. Just 3 people. Usually you have, like, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different this time. So. Yeah.
Well, at least you make it out there.
What's that?
At least you made it out there, at least maybe for the last time.
Yep. It's a lot of time. Well, I got in because of Paranormal Horizon. You know, you have to be either Bigfoot, have to be an affiliation or have things with Bigfoot or in the paranormal. And I thought, okay, well, I'll try it back. They know me. They know who I am. They know Paranormal Horizons. And, you know, they just, you know, I was going to get in and it was easy setup and everything. But I don't know. It's just weird. I think there's a lot of people now doing a lot of events and they're just, you know, they want an arm and a leg. I understand it's costing really a lot of money anymore to go rent a space, but to try and get your money back and everything, it can be very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Did you get any business?
No, I didn't. It was one of those. It was one of those that I did not get any business at all. I usually would do Chinese medicine readings or psychic mediumship and nothing. I did not get one at all. It was one of those events that I spent a lot of money for my space, a lot of money for my booth space, but did not get one. And like I said, I talked to the people like next door to me. They had Bigfoots today. She said she only made $10 the whole day from 10 to 6. The other person made about $5. So, and then I talked to a few other people and, you know, they just nickel and dime, nothing to even pay your space, let alone you're paying your booth fee, let alone your time. You know, time is money. So you have to reevaluate, okay, is it worth it? You have to, you know, have to think about, well, last time I was at the county fair, like for Clackamas County Fair, how well did I do? I didn't even make good booth fee there, you know, and there's days where I'll go to Body, Mind, Spirit or go to a medical convention and make more money, you know, like a lot of money to pay my bills. But yeah, you have to, you know, you have to think really where is it really worth it? It has nothing to do with the owner or anything. You know, just have certain events are going to be more advantageous than the other. Cliff Rockman, that's his name. Cliff Rockman. I had to remember his name. Animal Planet, Finding Bigfoot. Yeah, he was usually is there. This year wasn't there. He wasn't even there over at Clackamas. A couple of years, two, 3 years ago, he wasn't even there. 2 years ago or 3 years ago because they quit. They quit. They didn't do it for 2 years. So 3 years ago. And then prior to that, they had the COVID. And then that's when everything kind of changed. Yeah. So I don't know. I think Bigfoot does exist. I really feel that way, if you want to know. I think they do, but it's just they're so elusive. And, you know, look at the Yetis. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know. The Bigfoot, that's a cousin, the Yetis. I believe they do. I really do. But it's just so many things that they can't figure out. Well, how come they haven't found any skeletons? Where are the babies? Those kind of things. So there's a lot of questions that are, you know, involved in that.
It's funny how events, because I have a little bit of experience of selling something at events back in my very early biker days.
Mm-hmm.
I had the bright idea with two friends, you know, we rode Harley Davidsons, that we were going to start a motorcycle clothing company. So one of the three friends was a really good artist. So he would draw these original designs. And then we'd put them on T-shirts, sweatshirts, G-strings, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, had a banner and got, you know, basically everything we needed. And we went to this big motorcycle run, and we just sold so much stuff. It was killer. I thought we were finally onto something. And then the next year we went, and virtually nothing.
Nothing.
Literally no sales.
Oh.
So I get it. I don't know what it is. Just sometimes it's like that. It was kind of cool. One little cool thing about that is this motorcycle run is not anywhere near Portland. It's, you know, a different part of the state. And one time one of our shirts was spotted in Portland.
Oh wow!
So
really?
I thought that was kind of cool, and it was called Gladiator Motorcycle Gear, and like we did it all official, you know, we started an LLC and everything like that. And that first year was great. And then we even made a commercial and then it just, once we had that bad event, it was just kind of died.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Huh. So you missed being on the bike?
Yes, kind of. There's some aspects of being in a motorcycle club that I miss.
Mm-hmm.
But there are aspects of it that I don't miss, such as the drama and the politics.
Oh, is there? Okay. Of any place, huh? There's always that kind of.
Yeah, particularly in motorcycle clubs. I mean, it's not Sons of Anarchy, but, you know, it kind of is. So I don't know. I don't miss all of that. Not to mention that riding a motorcycle is ridiculously dangerous.
Wow.
I managed, after 12 years in a motorcycle club, to make it through with never crashing, but some of my club brothers weren't so lucky. Some died. Some were maimed or permanently disabled. And it's just, it's dangerous out there. It's great to be in the wind, cruising on your Harley or whatever you like to ride. But all it takes is one bad driver or some mechanical error at just the wrong time and you're toast.
Wow. Well, there could be some other factors too. You know, it could be, bad drivers and not slowing down and distance, not being able to judge distance very well, getting in a hurry. There's some factors.
Yeah. I should talk about the club life on an episode sometime.
Wow.
But I made it through that, and I grew out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's all about ego. It's all about control and power. And, you know, when you go to a bar and there's 15 of you guys, you know, you take over the bar and, you know, everybody's all freaked out because there's a motorcycle club there in mass, you know. And that stuff feels great for the club members, but it's all very childish, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why people like it. And I liked it at the time.
Feed the ego, let's put it that way, because we used to have a Harley too. Oh yeah. But you know what, when it's freaking hot outside, I don't care what it is, when you're in that helmet, boy, it is hot. Oh my gosh, it is hot.
I'll tell you, it's an interesting story, and you know, I've been watching YouTube videos and people just on NPR and stuff like that, just telling interesting mm-hmm. stories. Maybe we should start doing that on Paranormal Horizons. Paranormal and just regular life stories, because they're interesting, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, do you want to know how I even got in a motorcycle club?
Sure.
Or have I ever mentioned it, talked about that on the show?
I don't think so. To be honest with you, I don't think you talked about that part.
So the way I'll tell you how I got in, because it's kind of interesting. So basically, for those people that don't know, motorcycle clubs, at least in the state of Oregon, but this is pretty much applies to all other states. You have dominant motorcycle clubs, or what law enforcement would call outlaw motorcycle gangs. You know,
okay.
Like California, like Hell's Angels, Mongols, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In Oregon, we have several motorcycle clubs. And from this point on, I'll refer to motorcycle clubs because I don't want to piss anybody off. there are dominant clubs. And there are four, probably now five, dominant clubs. And the way I got into it is I got a Harley. And I already knew, had a basic understanding. Kind of, if you want to start a motorcycle club, and it's Oregon or pretty much anywhere, you kind of got to go to all the dominant clubs and ask for permission, blah, 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 blah. Because if you just start a club willy-nilly, you're asking for trouble. If you go into any of these big clubhouses, you'll see a bunch of motorcycle club patches on their walls upside down, which basically these dominant clubs have pulled the patches of other clubs.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. It gets really dicey. And, yeah. So if you start a club, you could be a problem. And also the types of patches that you have on your back, the way they're arranged means certain things. Everything means something. And I won't go into detail into that. But, So I decided with a few friends to start my own motorcycle club. I was going to be a rebel. It's a free country. I can do whatever I want to do. You know, and I just didn't care. What are they going to do? So I created a motorcycle club, which I created a three-piece patch motorcycle club. And a three-piece patch is you have your top rocker, you usually have a picture in the center, and you have a bottom rocker indicating the state, the territory. And those three-piece patch are considered, you know, the outlaw motorcycle, whatever. So I decided to start one up here in Oregon. I didn't care what anybody said. So I did, man. I got those patches made. We were riding around with them. I was a badass. Well, one of the guys that I created the club with was riding around, and he was getting gas. And this guy, old guy, pulls up, which he knew. His family knew. And he was in one of these big, dominant motorcycle clubs. And so this guy told our member of the club that I started, hey, come to our clubhouse so we can talk about this, you know. So we decided, okay, yeah, let's go to this clubhouse. But we were smart in that we didn't ride our motorcycles or wear the patches, because we knew that there was a chance that we'll get beat up and our patch is taken, and it'll be just another trophy on the wall. So we go out to this clubhouse and having a good time, meeting people, blah, 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 blah. And then one by one, we're led to the backyard.
Okay.
So me and another guy were escorted into the backyard. Our third member was in the bathroom, and he suddenly realized that we were gone. And then he eventually was brought to the backyard. We were brought to a picnic table. And so it was us three on one end of the picnic table and four or five of this other club, a significant club up here regionally. And they're in multiple states. And they basically said, if you continue to do this, that you're going to have an uphill battle. And we were, I don't remember really being freaked out. Maybe I was, but I don't think I was nervous. And so they gave us a card, which is basically an invite to one of their other clubhouses in Portland, because the clubhouse we were at wasn't in Portland. And every one day of the week, this club has what they call cheap drinks, which is kind of where anybody, you know, or these people that have been invited can go and hang out at the clubhouse.
Huh.
And so we went there, and we went there once a day every week, and never any problems or stuff like that. And as it turned out, that this dominant club had a support club sport club is like a smaller club that supports this bigger club, and we were kind of pointed that direction, and
okay.
I ended up joining the support club.
Oh,
actually,
wow.
All of us did. And that was in 2005. And I retired in 2017. And it was an interesting experience. And there's all sorts of interesting stories and things that had happened and stuff like that. And, yeah.
There's good and bad, huh? You had some good stories and good people, but you also have the other part, too.
Right, there were bad things that happened. There were things that happened that other members had quit, and I was about to quit as well. Nothing super crazy. There were crazy things that happened, but because I'm not a night owl, all the crazy things that happened were late at night.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
Yeah, so I never really saw, you know, too much crazy stuff. But, you know, all these dominant clubs, it doesn't take much for there to be a war or a conflict. So,
oh my.
You know, fortunately in my time, that didn't happen.
Do you think it's because of the egos that are involved? There's a lot of ego involved as far as supposedly being rough and gruff and being part of the group and stuff?
Yeah, it's a lot of history.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of tradition and history. And the reason that they don't want people just starting clubs is because a lot of these dominant clubs have been in wars. They have fought to be able to exist. Yeah, I mean, you have, and some of these people are true warriors. Like, I'm a huge dude, and there's people in these clubs I wouldn't want to mess with. Like, they are dangerous. I mean, intimidating. I mean, even to me, and I'm, like, the scariest person. But these are warriors.
Did you have to do an initiation?
Oh, yeah. So if you join a real motorcycle club, not all motorcycle clubs are what I considered real. And most people will know this, and if you watch TV, there's a prospect period. So it starts out, you hang out with the club, and if it feels like a good fit and the club likes you, then you're asked to prospect, and you get a different patch for that, and you prospect for, usually it's quite a long time. I was in a support club, so it wasn't. I prospected for longer than most. In fact, the club was fairly new in 2005. And when I had prospected, I had prospected longer than anybody else. And that was 5 months. And prospecting is not really an enjoy. It's you. For me, you know, it's mostly, and most other clubs out there, all other clubs, you're basically the club's bitch. You know, you're the one that's going to be cleaning up. You're the one that's going to go get stuff from the store. You're going to, you know, it's just a bunch of menial tasks.
Oh, you're the grunt. You start at the bottom.
Sorry about that. The call got dropped. I think Sherry, she should be calling back here in a second. Anyway, so yes, it was the longest night ever, and I thought in the morning that I would be able to go and leave, and the night was over, but that really had just begun. And Sherry's saying she can't connect. One of the most senior members of this major club, I needed my help. And so I had to load my bike on a trailer
and I had to take him in his truck because he was drunk to his shop and then drive him to his house and then unload stuff. And this just went on into the afternoon. And then I got my, became a full member shortly after that. And the way they did that was, is, you know, when you go to these meetings or what they call church, it's usually once a week. And there was one fateful church where the president of the club that I was trying to get in said, hey, I have something in my saddlebag. Go out and get it. And I went out there, got it, and it was my full patch. And I became a full patch member. And over the years, I was a secretary, sergeant-at-arms, and president of a new chapter. And it was, that's it. And
wow.
I got burned out. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Pretty interesting. It's an interesting subculture.
And you know, like I said earlier, there's some good and there's some bad, you know. It's just what kind of life, and probably the poker runs are fine, you know, if you get around with good, some really decent people. I like the ones with the, where they have, what is it, they help the kids that are abused. You know, they can go on, what is that motorcycle club with the Bikers Against Bullies. That's a good one. What do you think? That's a good one.
Yeah, we don't, you know, the clubs, you know, they might do toy runs and stuff like that, but we kind of stick within the club community.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you go do other club stuff. Like, you get invited to a lot of stuff that normal people can't go to.
Okay.
You know, you can't just, like, somebody that's not in a club, a known club or established, respected club, can't just roll up to someone else's clubhouse. But when you're in the clique, when you're part of the established support club or main club, you kind of just do a bunch of club stuff, which consists of events that are annual or semi-annual, and you do that. Some of the downside, I'll tell you what, some of the downside, aside from the drama and politics, clubs, is the attention of law enforcement.
Okay.
You can't, unfortunately, in the world that we live in, if you wear a patch on your back and you ride a motorcycle, you're automatically classified as a gang member. I'm sure they put you in their little computer systems, but you get treated terribly. You get pulled over all the time. You get harassed all the time. One time I was in a gas station. Some cop was driving by. He stops, takes out a camera, and starts taking pictures of me. I got pulled over in my car. They knew who I was. They lied and said I had warrants and lied about my car insurance, handcuffed me, yanked me out of the car, threw me in the back of the police car. And just to make my life miserable.
Oh, wow.
And of course, they let me go because they were just stuff like that. I had four officers behind me at a coffee shop, and I was with a different club member. And they said very loudly, referring to us sitting there, this is why we put bullets in our guns.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing that you have to deal with if you're in a motorcycle club, and it gets worse. I mean, there's cases of police planting evidence and getting caught doing it, and just harassment, because you get put on a gang watch list. My club that I was in, someone, I don't remember who made me aware of it, but some city in Idaho had a city council meeting regarding motorcycle clubs, and they had
mm-hmm.
pictures of us in it in Idaho. So, everybody is just, oh, another one of our members was trying to get into Canada. They held them for 3 days and they had all the papers on us and pictures and everything. I mean, it's such a police state, you know. There's the downside. So if anybody's thinking about joining a motorcycle club, just think about it hard and heavy. There's a lot of great things. There's brotherhood. There's fun. There's support, whether it be financial, you know. There's drama between members and stuff like that, and there's cliques, but, you know, the club will stand by you. And I have the club tattooed on my arm, and so it's for me for life. So.
Oh, my God. So you have tats. You have tattoos. What do you think about people wearing tattoos? Is that something that, you know, that's a major decision that you're going to be maybe living with for the rest of your life?
I've never regretted any of my tattoos. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have the club tattoo. I have to be careful with that because basically the tattoo of the club is the patch on my forearm. So anybody can see it. So
mm-hmm.
I was supposed to get another tattoo below it with the in and out dates. But I haven't done that.
So,
but I tell you, it's like work. Once you leave the club, I retired. I was eligible to retire because of my tenure. But really, once you leave the club, that brotherhood kind of goes away. Yeah, maybe there's some friendships that last, but yeah, once you're out, you're out.
So what do you think about... what do you think about the Hells Angels? Everybody knows about the Hells Angels, don't they?
I don't have a whole lot of exposure to the Hells Angels. When I was talking about selling those T-shirts at this run,
mm-hmm.
The Hells Angels were there, and I hung out with them a little bit. They were cool. One of them gave me a Support 81 pin. I've been down to the Gypsy Jokers clubhouse in Central Oregon, and they let me write my name on their wall.
Oh my God.
Gypsy Jokers are kind of the Hells Angels of Oregon. They're massive.
Are they a big thing? Yeah.
Yeah. They're, as far as I'm concerned, they're just as notorious. I mean, they're not the size of the Hells Angels, but they're one of the, probably the alpha club of the Northwest.
Oh my gosh.
So those guys are cool. I've hung out with them a little bit. But mainly I just stuck around with the big clubs that I was a part of.
Good, good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm glad that we went through that stage and just decided to sell our Harley and, you know, just getting older and didn't want to take any chances on, you know, maybe going and getting an accident or something.
A smart move.
Yes.
And when I sold my Harley, I sold it to another club member. I sold it to a member of my club, and he couldn't ride it yet because he had just lost half of his leg in a motorcycle accident.
Wow.
So he lost one of his legs from the knee down. And, I mean, yeah, another guy, I think a horse or a cow crossed the highway or something crazy. He was severely injured. Another guy at night was T-boned by a car, not paying attention, blew a light, killed him. Yes, I mean, it's ugly. But they're the sweetest funerals you'll ever see.
Wow.
Because when one of our brothers dies or somebody else from another club, you know, you're going to get a lot of motorcycles. It's quite the sight to see.
Yeah.
150 club members show up to a funeral. You know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a lot. That's pretty impressive. It's all about. Yay! Well, it's getting time, Jason. Geez, this time's flying pretty fast.
Well, as usual, we just chatted about various life things.
Sure.
And,
yes.
You know.
And let me know when you're ready to get a guest. I would, Clyde Lewis like to be on, or we can have Ross Allison from TV, so on cable TV. So let me know if you feel like having a guest for an hour, and I can just book them. All I have to do is just give them a call on their cell and book them out. So, yeah, and we can get back on. I won't be available for a couple of weeks, but once I get going, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, we'll try to get more consistent again. I think things are settling down. So,
So, yeah, everything's good. You know, everything's real good. And I'm glad everything's working out for you in a new place. And, you know, we're just moving forward and just being blessed. It's awesome.
Very good. Well, you know, somebody just delivered pizza to me, so I'm
going to
indulge in that. And hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll probably be back in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to take the time to figure out a better way to do this show, not on a cell phone, and probably have to buy another computer, but that's okay. And stay cool, everybody. You know, we got this national heat wave going on. And
It is terrible. Yeah. It is terrible. Yeah. So take care, and I will talk to you soon. Well, hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks for sure.
In a couple of weeks, absolutely.
Weeks, yeah. It's all good. Hey, everybody, thank you for following Paranormal Horizons. And if you have any questions, go ahead and reach us. Again, we are still with Means and with Jason, and well, on my busy schedule, I've not been able to participate as much as I should be. But anyway, if you have any memes to share or anything, just send them on our way. And thank you for supporting us after all these years.
Absolutely. Well, have a safe and fantastic week, everyone. We'll see everybody in a couple weeks, and stay cool. Good night.
Sure. Bye-bye.